Earlier this week, I received a text message from a very good friend of mine, a former classmate in the seminary. He told me that he had been diagnosed with advanced stage of prostate cancer. When I read it, I was speechless. I could not believe it because my classmate is a health buff. He had regular exercise and he watched what he was eating. His diet was very limited to healthy food. And so I texted him back. First, I asked how he was doing. Then second, I told him how sorry I was to hear the news. His response was rather insightful. He said, "I really need your prayers, even though I am confident that I will be all right. And from what I've gathered, this is not a death sentence, just another challenge in life that I have to face with courage. If anything, I now appreciate life all the more." So I said to myself, wow, this man is really a man of faith. I said to myself that if this were to happen to me, I would probably go into deep depression right away. But my friend's words showed me how a believer should react to such situation. We must always respond with trust and confidence in the mercy and love of God. Our first reading today conveys a similar message, that of trust and love. Abraham, who is a righteous and obedient servant of God, is being tested. After waiting for so long and knowing so much heartache, the Lord's promise of a child had been given him and his wife Sarah. And at the birth of their child, their joy knew no bounds. Then God wants Isaac back. Although the agony and the struggle were without limits as well, Abraham did not hesitate. He loved God so much that he followed God's demands. It looks like my friend, my classmate, had taken a cue from Abraham's story this weekend. Abraham knew deep in his heart that with firm faith and trust in God's love, God would not allow him to give up his son in the end. And sure enough, Abraham was right. God saw how faithful he was and how much Abraham really loved him. My brothers and sisters, we can see in Abraham's decision what it really means to have faith in God. It means to be willing to surrender to God's seemingly irrational demands. And it requires from each of us courage and faith. You see, the whole point of faith is that when we are met with any problem or concern, we are not ashamed to call out. Because the whole point of believing is the conviction that there is someone there to answer. During moments of need, the great responder assures us that he's always there to answer. Our second reading from St. Paul's letter to the Romans assures us of God's abiding presence in our lives. Paul writes, "During the time of persecution, when the Christians in Rome were facing crucifixion or beheading or any form of torture, Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us?" His rhetorical question, if God is for us, who can be against us? "He who did not spare his own son but handed him over for us all, how will he not also give us everything else along with him?" Paul continues with the question, really, what will separate us from the love of God? And he answers his question. He says, nothing. Not persecution, not sword, not famine, not crucifixion. Nothing, absolutely nothing. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that comes to us in Christ Jesus. Abraham knew that. Paul knew that. My friend knows that. Most of our lives as Christian disciples is not lived in the moments of shining mystery. It is lived out daily in our ordinary decisions to pray, even though prayer is hard, to hope when despair is an option, to forgive, even though to forgive takes work, to serve, even though it would be so easy not to do so. In the gospel, we witness the mystery of the transfiguration, when Jesus changed appearance before his three favorite disciples. He was shown to them in the glory of the anticipated resurrection. But my friends, transfiguration was not just a mystery that happened to the life of Christ. It was also ministry that he extended to everyone he met. For anyone who had an encounter with Christ had their own lives transfigured. It is our prayer that during this season of Lent, we too will be transfigured in the manner of Christ, and that people around us, people who meet us, will also be transfigured by the love, the compassion, the hospitality and care we show to each of them.
I want to thank Monsignor William Enrique for helping us out today at St. Lucie's. This is the third Mass that he celebrated today because Father Steve is off gallivanting in a marriage encounter. So Monsignor took three, I took three. And you notice that at the end of his homily, he said that we could transfigure people by our hospitality. Isn't that a bit of an exaggeration? Could people really be changed because I'm hospitable? Are you sure about that, Monsignor?
Yes.
Well, last Sunday, I think I mentioned at this Mass that I talked to some new parishioners recently. About six of them told me similar stories, that they were looking for a church. They were going to Protestant and Catholic parishes, kind of checking out what's the religious scene like. And they came here to St. Lucie's, and in each one of their cases, they said the first Sunday they came here, they were given a warm welcome, whether it was an usher or a greeter at the front of church or at the back of church, or somebody in the pew said, hey, are you new? Who are you? And they felt warmly welcomed. So they decided to come back a second time. And eventually, in all six of these cases, they decided to become parishioners of St. Lucie. Why? Because they felt hospitality here. They felt a spirit of hospitality. So maybe you weren't exaggerating, Monsignor. Maybe being hospitable could actually change a person's decision to become a member of a parish community. And that is true. Now, I had another conversation, not quite as happy. It was just Thursday evening at our leadership gathering. There is a relatively new parishioner who said that he had come here for about three months or so. And after about 3 months, I saw him after Mass one day, and I introduced myself and said hello and found out he was new, and I welcomed him. He said, you know, Father Kevin, I've been coming here for 3 months. You're the first person who's ever said hello to me. That was a horrible thing to hear. That should never happen to anybody. Everybody who comes here for the first time should be warmly welcomed. Everybody who comes here after years and years should be warmly welcomed. Every Sunday, there should be a spirit of hospitality, and I think there usually is. Just out of curiosity, how many are here at this Mass for the first time? Could you just raise your hand? I'm not going to make you stand up or anything. Just some people right there. Anyone else? Look at the 5 or 6, 7 people. Anyone over there? Okay, so right here, we have about 10, 12 people who are here for the first time. Are they going to receive a warm welcome? They might not come back. So you see the impact that we make on the type of atmosphere we create in our church. And that's why last Sunday we announced at all the Masses that we're reorganizing and re-energizing our greeters and ushers ministries. So at every Mass, we are inviting people to consider becoming a greeter or becoming an usher or both. And a greeter means somebody is at the front door or the back door before Mass, welcoming people. And we're going to have little welcoming brochures to offer people in a few weeks as well. So when the greeter is back there and sees someone they've never seen before, they say, oh, are you new? You're welcome to St. Lucie's. Here's some information about the parish. We're not going to hand them an envelope to make a donation, no. Just info. And the usher ministry, as you know, those who help seat people at the beginning of Mass, they take up the collection, they help organize the procession with the gifts, bread and wine, and the donations. They help with the flow of the communion lines, and they give out bulletins at the end of Mass. Very simple, but it makes a difference. So we'd like to give you the opportunity to offer your services in one or both of these ministries. And it doesn't have to be burdensome. It could be once a month to stand in front of the church once a month for 10 minutes before Mass and say, welcome to St. Lucie's. Doesn't sound too difficult. So if you're a friendly person and you would like to help once a month, twice a month, every week, raise your hand, please. And the ushers back there are going to pass out this little contact card. And we'll give you, just fill it out quickly. And then we're going to give a little training, a little spiritual retreat in 2 weeks on a Saturday, the 14th, and from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. So if you'd raise your hands, and we will pass out these to you. And if we don't get at least 8 or 9, we're not going to open the doors at the end of Mass. They will remain locked until we get the people. Do we only have 2 ushers passing out those forms? Joe, are you and Dave the only ones? Okay, you got to walk a little faster, please. Yeah. Dave, I think we got some people over here. Anyone over here? Are there any friendly people over here who'd like to raise their hand? There's a young boy about 5 or 6 years old. This is for children, too. You know, families can offer their services together. Mom and dad, children could come and greet people at the beginning of Mass. So no discrimination against children. Joe at the far side over there. No reference to the comic strip. The far side, there's someone. Right over here, 2 hands. Right here, a teenager. This is for teens. This is for children. This is for older adults, for everybody. Don't hold back. If you're a friendly person and you can say hello and you can do that once a month for 10 minutes, that's all you need to do, or twice a month. Dave? Okay, move a little faster back there, please. There's a couple of young woman right over here, next to that real tall father of theirs. I didn't see the father raise his hand. What's the matter, Dad? Come on. All right, there you go. Okay, we're going to have our eye on you, Sam. Anybody else not get one of these little forms? Okay, we'll give you about 60 seconds. Just fill it out. Here's somebody else with more. Excellent. And then you can just pass the forms back to those ushers or put them in the collection box or collection basket. So thank you very much to those of you who have offered your services. We'll give you a little training in 2 weeks, the 14th, Saturday the 14th, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. here in the church, a little retreat, hands-on training, and then we'll put you on the schedule. So thank you so much. How about a big applause for those who offer their services? And I think we have the youngest in the whole parish right over here. How old are you, Tommy? 8 years old. Okay, we got an 8-year-old greeter usher over here. Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you.